day that that our Savior, our Yeshua HaMashiach, our priest, went in for us. How amazing that is. So Yom Kippur, the most holiest day of the year, it's a Shabbat, not in the weekly Shabbat, but a holy day, a holy convocation. I thought about this today. I said, my, what if we'd have been practicing this rehearsal the entire time of coming to Christ? Just realizing, by now we'd have it. So let me give you a few things that you want to prepare yourself for. The Lord give us an opportunity again to take part in Yom Kippur, which starts in the evening of today, ends the evening tomorrow. We'll come here to close it, but we'll have a service, but it ends from the evening to the evening. How many see the connection between Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, how they all connected? They're interconnected. Very important. So we start on the seventh month. What day of the month is Yom Teruah? Seventh month, on the first day of the month. And then on the 10th, we have Yom Kippur. And we're going to cover as much as I can with it. A few things I'll throw in there. What I'm looking at, a lot of stuff we talked about last year. But some of the things that stand out is we have to plan it ahead. How many want to plan it ahead for next time? The Lord give us the opportunity to do it. It ought to be a day that we set apart, that we humble ourselves. That's what he says, and we afflict ourselves. I'm going to talk about that, how important that is. So in order to do it, you would have to completely take the day off. Because you can't even do it without doing complete. So that's something that's different, right? So if you're working, you'd have to put in for a day off. But that's how important. And I was talking, I said, well, that makes it. I'm reasoning with God as I'm talking today and throughout the week. I said, well, Lord, that would be. He said, but just think about it. What if my people would have been doing this all along? By now, they would get it. Right? Because we know that outside of what we look at as scripture, other people considering religious practices, they have days that are set apart and they're recognized. Aren't they? How many know there's recognized days that even people who do not profess to be followers of Christ participate in because they're so recognized? So how is it that we can't recognize a day? So if we're going to recognize any day, we got to make sure that it's Yom Kippur, because it's the day of atonement. It's the day of atonement. There's two things that's very important about the day of atonement. That's one is it's the covering and the cleansing. The covering and the cleansing. A lot of times we focus on the blood of Jesus, but it's not just the blood, it's the life. So everybody say blood and life. That's important. We're going to talk about that. Hopefully, if not, I'll finish it tomorrow for sure. But that is a value in understanding this. So we want to make sure that we think about this day, that we consecrate this day. He says in the scripture that this is a permanent time. It's permanent. It's a permanent thing. And we wait for its completion. How many know that Yom Kippur, in by faith, that's why he said without faith, it's impossible to please God, and the just, those who have been justified, or come into the righteousness of God by Yeshua HaMashiach, have to have faith. The just shall live, now, this is about living now, by faith. How many know once we see him face to face, you won't need faith anymore? And the Yom Kippur is known as what's called face to face. Now, we see through a glass dimly or darkly. But then, can you imagine when he rolls the rakia back? If we got all of heaven right now, it'd be like a mass murder would take place because no flesh can glory in his presence. You understand? So we have to go through Scripture and start learning and growing in our faith through the example we have through our Messiah, the Anointed One, the Mashiach, the Anointed One. We look at his life and we trying to do what with our life? We're trying to mimic his life. If he kept Torah, we do what? We keep Torah. He recognized the feast. What should we do? Recognize the feast. It's not until later on in the 3rd and 4th century did we see a lot of this pagan system come into play. But the early apostles, they followed Torah. But they, let me tell you, there were so many people that were murdered right after the temple destruction. Some 40 years or so after Yeshua died, buried, and rose again, then the temple destroyed. Let me tell you, it was like mass murder taking place to those who were followers of Christ. And what else were they doing when they were burning the synagogues and tearing down the temples? What were they doing? They were burning all of the literature. Why do you burn the literature? Because you want to erase that history so you can make a new history. That's got deception in it. That's why we got to pray the power of Holy Spirit to come and open our eyes so we can see past the deception. It's been a deception from the beginning. The deceiver, remember, the deceiver's at work. What did Eve say? He deceived me. He beguiled me. Think about that. So we're dealing with a deception today. A lot of times we don't want to face that reality, but we're dealing with a deception. And I don't care where you put yourself, even in church, if we're not careful, we will preach deception. Let me just put it this way. We have preached deception, but nobody really wants to admit that. Listen, if we've been wrong, we ought to at least say we've been wrong. And then what do? Well, you repent. And you don't keep preaching that. How many of you know there's been some changes around what we talk about? Since from the time, if you were here day one when I started, there's been some changes. And that's okay. See, the problem is when man gets, you can get so prideful that you don't even want to admit that because you fear you're going to lose something. Listen, what are you going to lose? Would you rather lose out with God or lose out with people? It's okay. If you make a mistake, you got to be willing to say, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. When I mistook that. That's why we keep this. How many believe we should study to show ourselves approved unto God? A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Understand, that's an ongoing thing. We studying. How many thank God that we can study his word? And these are important things. So tonight, we're going to go through as much as we can, but we're going to have to do it in two parts because just to get in some of the other things that I looked at leading up to this. So I'm going to cover a lot of the stuff I talked about last year, but with some just adding a little bit more understanding to it. So how many know we serve an incredible God who wants the best for us? So if you have the opportunity to take these notes, take them down. Look at it careful. A lot of times we put focus on the blood, in which you have to, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But we don't put a lot of focus on life. Remember, life. So we have the blood. The blood comes from somebody's death. Right? Somebody's death. So the beginning of this atonement starts in Genesis. And we have man trying to fix man, doesn't work. Right? You can't cover yourself or your iniquity, your transgression. You can't cover yourself. Somebody might say, you know, well, I'm doing better. That gets you no closer. You can say, well, I'm doing better. I've done better all week this week. You know how much closer you got to God? None. You can't do better and get close to God. It takes the covering of the Lord to bring us close to the Lord. So it's better that Adam and Eve covered themselves, right? Instead of going around naked, it's better that they covered themselves, but they were no closer to God. But then he took the lamb or the animal, whatever it was, and that blood had to be shed. The coat of skin, he clothed them. That word, he covered them. It's where we get Kippur from. Yom Kippur comes from Kafir. Kafir, he covered them. That's the beginning of atonement. So it's all through Scripture. And so I don't think there's enough emphasis there, and there's hardly any emphasis if you don't participate or at least acknowledge the times of the feast days. And so it's safe to say that there are some folks that if I asked them if I said, what is Yom Kippur, they wouldn't even know. So you ought to be thankful that you know what Yom Kippur is. Be thankful of that, because let me tell you, we need to know what that is. So the trumpet blasts, and what is he telling us? I'm sounding the alarm. Hey, everybody. Hey, I'm coming. So what does the 10 virgins do? They get up. All right? The ones that's got the oil and their lamps ready, they just trim the lamps. They're ready to go. Five of them say, well, we weren't reading Torah. We weren't doing anything. We were distracted. Give us some of yours. I can't. I'm ready. I heard the sound. You got so many days. He tarries a little. And then he's all of a sudden, he's at the door. How many know when he's at the door, behold, I stand at the door. You got to be ready to open that door. Because once that door closes, so they go out to get some, but it's too late. Because while they were gone, he came. So there's a sound, a little tarry. How many? That's why we practice. We have this Rum Teruah, right? We have 10 days of awe. Where we get ourselves, because what are we preparing for? Today. We're preparing for today. So all this time you should have been saying, I thank you. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. Huh? You should have been thanking him all week. I'm thankful for the blood. Thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Very important. Valuable that we're thankful. So we have this day starts this evening, ends next evening coming. That's called the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur. Yom is day, and the kefir is the cover or the atoning, and we'll talk about it. We'll try to go in great length with this. Leviticus 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Where's the life of the flesh? What it's in? It's in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement. Given it. It refers to what? The blood. Let me read it again. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it, the blood, to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now let me read it from the ESV. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. By the life. Now I want you to understand that Jesus' death, Yeshua's death, was valuable based upon the fact that his blood was shed when he died. But without the resurrection, blood and life, it's not, atonement is not complete. Why is that so? You mean to tell me he couldn't just die for me? No, because that's what we're telling people. I just want you to know he died for you. He didn't just die. Why is it so important for him to resurrect? Because somebody has got to bring the blood from where it was to where it needs to be. Somebody has got to do that for us. We have to have a high priest who can bring the blood in to the holiest of holies. How many understand that? He didn't bring the blood when he was on the cross. He didn't bring the blood when he was in the grave. He couldn't bring the blood in the grave because he was dead for 3 days and 3 nights. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. He tells them, "Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." What did Yeshua call his God most of the time in Scripture? He called him Father. He called him Father over and over and over and over again. He got to ascend to the Father. For what? Was it at the time that he was going to? Because there's something had to be done. There was something that he possessed that would make the atonement. And so, and it's not just blood, it's blood and life. Very important. And we can make an argument for life before and after. Right? Could we make an argument for life before and after? The reason we can, because he knew no sin. The way he lived his life, he knew no sin. But that's another side thought or teaching that I can't get into tonight. 1 John chapter number 1. This reading is very important. I want you to think about it as we go through it. 1 John chapter number 1. We'll start with verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands, have handled the word of life. The word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. I mean, thank God it was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. That's that word koinonia right there. That word fellowship is where we get the term koinonia from. Fellowship with us. And truly our koinonia, our fellowship, is with the Father and with His Son, Yeshua Messiah. Think about that. What's our fellowship with? The Father and the Son. Does anybody see that? That's very important that you understand that. Because that we sing little songs and they're nice and they're real songs, easy to learn sometimes, but they're not all scripturally sound. Especially a long time ago when we sang songs, they just weren't. It's a relationship. This is eternal life, that they may know you. This is Yeshua. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Yeshua Messiah. Amen? So keep that in mind. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So there's a reason to write this. How many want full joy? You know what gets you going? Not because everything's going good. Because in this life, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. That's not what should get you going. What gets you going is the full story. When you read and know and understand the full picture of what he's doing for us, that should bring joy to you. What are you happy for? What I'm happy for is not because everything I want, I have. What I'm happy for is not because I'm feeling great in my body. What I'm happy for is he made a way where there seemed to be no way. And though I sinned, I fell short of the glory. He's redeemed me from the curse. And now I can be an heir with Christ, joint heir, and be a son, a daughter. Understand those principles. That's where your joy becomes full, is understanding the whole picture that's been put there. Because let me tell you, church, for the most part, has set people up for failure. Because if they come based on feeling, based on chill bumps, based on miracles, based on seeing supernatural things, people falling, people shouting and dancing or whatever, and that goes away, they go away. Because they came for fish and loaves. But when he says this, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. He's taking you deeper. What is he saying? He says, unless you're atoned for, you have no part with me. Unless you have Yom Kippur, you're not going to make it. How many know we got to have Yom Kippur on a daily basis? But at least once a year, he says, I want you to go through this process and understand that your high priest, your Lamb of God, your scapegoat, your high priest, he's everything for anything you apply to Yom Kippur that it took a lot of people to do. Yeshua HaMashiach stepped in and he done them, every one of them. Isn't that amazing? You want to know why I love him? Why I appreciate him? Listen, let me tell you why. He's our hero. He's our champion. He's our soon coming king. A lot of people say, well, he's the king. Let me get it right biblically. He is our soon coming king, because you can't have a king until the coronation happens, and you can't coronate the king until we have the trumpet blow and Yom Kippur takes place, and then Sukkot, the king, gets coronated and a 1,000-year reign happens. That's why I say he's my soon coming king. Now, in faith, he's my king. You better believe it. Am I looking for another king? Not at all. But if he'd be king, we wouldn't have the nonsense going on that we have in the world today. We wouldn't have the NFL garbage that takes place. And all the it's nonsense. It's just to get people sidetracked and caught up with all kinds of nonsense. Let me tell you, and these are some, if you go back and listen to some of the things I said in the last couple years, I told you this is the kind of stuff that would be coming as distractions to get people out of focus. I want to tell you, keep your eyes on the prize. My soon coming king is what I'm looking for. When he gets coronated, it's going to be something, it's going to be amazing. And listen, you're going to be there. Because before he coronates him king, he does a wedding. We go under the huppah. And remember, the ketubah, which is the marriage contract, gets read. And it goes like this. I'm yours, and you mine. And then he crowns him king of kings. And a 1,000-year reign happens, that ought to be something for somebody to shout about and get excited. That's how your joy gets full. No, it don't have to go right. You can have one of the worst, man. The church has gotten in a habit. Man, it's been a terrible week. It's been a tough week, and we're looking for a feeling. We're looking for somebody to tell me something because I don't feel good. What about the story? That's always in the Word of God. It don't go away. I don't care what's happened. You can have 15 foot of water in your house, you can have the windows blown out. He's still got the story that you can go to and say, I know we're going through it right now. In this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. That's what he said. Be of good cheer. Count it all joy when you go through different types of tests and trials. That's what he said. Count it joy. I never forget, I was counseling someone years and years ago. I'm going to tell you how long ago it was. I was living here in the house, and we just put the addition on the one side. I mean, remember that we had to add on that little addition, made it look like an office type. It had a shower in it, but it was on that side. Anyway, I'm in there because that's where the office was, and I'm counseling. And I knew this fellow was going through it. So when he walks in, I said, are you happy? Happy? I ain't got a thing in the world to be happy about. I said, well, that's your biggest problem. How many of you know not many people want to counsel with me? Because I'm not, listen, if you want somebody to hug you, you can go up the road, you give them $45 an hour, they lay on your couch and give you a little hot tea, to sip on and put a diffuser by you and pat you on the head. But you don't have to give me anything. I'm just going to tell you how to not get trapped in a deception and lies of the devil, that you can have joy no matter what's going on because you know the story that's about to happen. You might be going through it now, and you might be enduring weeping through the night, but how many knows what comes in the morning? The Bible says joy comes in the morning. If you start looking at how bad your night is, you can't even see the morning. How many have ever said this? Man, this night never, it seemed like it never wanted to end. You know why it won't end? Because you can't embrace the morning. I don't care what's going to happen. You keep looking toward the east. That sun's coming. You might say, man, I had the longest night of my life. It was the same time. But to you, because you couldn't see the morning. I can tell this will be part four. Four parts. That which ye have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua, Messiah. Can you just have fellowship with Messiah? That's not what he said. Am I speaking about 1 John here? Am I reading 1 John? Our fellowship. These are the early apostles. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Our koinonia. Man, I'm just going to tell it to Jesus. That's all right. You can keep just telling it to Jesus, but the whole time you're telling it to him, he's saying, hey, wake up. When you pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven. Don't forget the Father. How many want to see the supernatural happen? Don't forget the Father. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that Elohim is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And ready for this atonement? And the blood of Yeshua Messiah, his Son, does what? Cleanses us from all sin. So blood does what? Covers and cleans. How many thank God for cover and clean? Because how many know cover is not good enough? Cover is an Old Testament or a Torah type waiting for the thing that can clean. This is to cover. But we get covered and clean. That's amazing. To me, that's amazing. And it had to be shown that it happened. Let me tell you, when they took the two goats, they would take the scarlet thread. They would take two scarlet threads. One, they would tie on a scapegoat and send it out. That would be the one that took the sins out the camp. The other one, they put on the door of the temple. And then they waited for a sign. The goat didn't return. That was good enough for them. They went to the temple, and the scarlet lion turned to white. After Yeshua HaMashiach rose, ascended on high, sat down at the right hand of the Father, they kept practicing it. Kept doing the same thing. They couldn't get it. The church kind of took over. Now, the early apostles, they were alienated and ostracized from that group. Because they were saying, you ain't got to do that no more. So they dig the scarlet line, send out the scapegoat, put the line on the door, and nothing happened. Uh-oh. The doors would be wide open. They'd go and shut the doors, and they'd take, this is in history. You can go right in the Talmud, in the rabbinical writings, you can see history. They'd say, this was some crazy stuff. It's like, wow, what is going on? The menorah, they light it on the western light, and it would go out. What's happening? It quit happening. He took care of them for so long until the real showed up. How many know when the real shows up, you don't need that no more? That's why we don't have to do that. Should we forget? No. See, this is what helps you remember. We don't talk near enough about what it is. Oh, he died for me. That's all I need to know is he died for me. Well, he died for you, but you try to live on that for all your life. You know what happens? The enemy will start beating you down and you can't figure out, well, man, I don't know why. I just feel like I'm not where I, because you're not seeing or you're not reintroducing yourself to what actually has happened for you and going back over that as a memorial to remember how incredible it was. And that's why we do this. Let me tell you. Some of the things I hear, you got to be an idiot to do the Torah. You're going back under the law. You might as well tear Galatians out your Bible because you don't even believe it. Think about that. That's the stuff I hear. Really? I'm going to keep going on this. Listen what he says. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare we unto you that Elohim is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Yeshua. Blood of Yeshua Messiah has cleansed us from all sin. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I'm good. That's what people do. They go, I'm going to church now, I'm feeling better. You can feel better about yourself, but you got to have your covered and cleansed. And then how long do you need that cover? So people say, well, I'm good now. I was baptized. But well, that's fine. But let me tell you something. Yom Teruah has not been fulfilled in atonement. The Yom Kippur, the finale, has not happened, coming, bringing us into the thousand-year reign. And so you're still amongst the biggest deception time there is. He said in the last days, it's going to get worse. And so I'm trying to tell people, listen, don't put the coast on. I'm just going to hit the cruise control, and I'm good. You know, I'm still believing. That's what people are doing. You know, well, I know I'm not going to church. This is what people say. Well, I know I ain't going to church. I ain't been in a while, but I still love the Lord. Really? Really, if you love the Lord, then why won't you afflict yourself or humble yourself before the Lord? That's a real issue. You can't self-cover. I talked right at the beginning here. So I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to see what it is once you start telling folks that you got to change some things, you got to repent of this, you got to change that attitude. Oh, let me just give you this because there's an issue here. How many believe this? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. How many believe that? Because if you don't believe that, then I don't know if you're taking half of what I say, some of what I say, a quarter of what I say, all of what. But if you believe all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, what is all Scripture profitable for? Doctrine, yeah. Reproof, correction, and righteousness. That way, if somebody looks at it or reads it, they can do what? They can move, they can get somewhere. Yeah. It's direction. It's giving us direction. If all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, then I believe that it covers from Genesis all the way to the end. So whatever's in there. Because see, people can pick and choose. Well, I don't think we should be on that. Show me where it's not in Scripture. I give you an example. I covered three things that I'm looking at. I'm about to get on the Trinity part. Three things. When I got to the second part, dealing with the enclosed cosmology that the Scripture teaches. People don't set right with everybody. Well, I can't help that. You understand? I can't help that. I'm just showing you what it says. You believe whatever you want. It don't have to sit right with you, but I'm telling you, somebody's lying and somebody's telling the truth. I'm going to go with God on this because I believe God's telling the truth and the world's lying to you and been lying to you, and we get so caught up in that deception, it's hard for us to come out of that because we don't want to be looked at as crazy people. We want to hold on to our status. We want to stay in our circle. And if I start saying that, they're going to push me out the circle. You'd rather be pushed out the circle or pushed out the kingdom? Because that's what it boils down to at the end. When a man's taken, like John, he put him in a ball and all. How many have been fried? Anybody ever fry anything? How would you like to be put in there? John's put in all. He still preached the gospel. Miraculously, somehow he got out of that. He found himself on the Isle of Patmos, scarred for life. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Do you understand that? He doesn't care. You want to push me out? That's fine. I don't care where you put me. You can put me on whatever island you want, because that's what's happening to you. You may not know that, but that's what's happening to you. You, this building, this church, this people here, you've been pushed on the island. Well, I don't know about them. That's okay. But I'm telling you, you hang in there. I've been praying for an anointing like you ain't never seen in your life. I've been praying to preach like a man from another world. I've been praying your eyes will shoot fire, your revelation levels will increase. I've been praying, God, time is right now. Let it go and let it happen. If you're in, you're in. If you're not, you're not. One thing's for certain, I'm going to be participating in what thus said the Lord when he gets back. That's where you're going to find me at. And I pray to God he finds you participating in what he said in the word. When he gets ready to blow that last trumpet, I pray that you prostrate yourself and you got 10 days or off right in front of you. You can't wait for that atonement. And then one day, it's going to be a fantastic day, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's going to step out of the throne room of God and he's going to set the record straight. I don't want to be thinking whether I want to be in or out at that time. I want to be locked in. You know what? They gave everything. These guys gave everything. They sought him a son to fed him to wild animals. I can't go over thousands and thousands of people who were murdered because they wouldn't conform to the empire that was in place. And let me tell you, we're living in an empire. This world is an empire of the elite. And you're not going to fit. That's fine. He said, be not conformed to this world system, but be ye transformed by renewing your mind, that you and I can come to reality. We'll know what is the good and the perfect will of God. How many want to know that? Can you know that if you're still walking in that type of confusion? You're not going to know.
That's right.
We'll start self-covering. We're dealing with something that's very important here. Valuable. Oh my, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do you get to be cleansed from all unrighteousness? Confess your sins. Admit to it. That's how you do it. You got folks who want to come get saved and say, you know, I'm good. I'm good. You want to pray? No, I'm good. You pick up somebody on the road and you start talking to them. You know, you bring up the Lord. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know the Lord, man. I know the Lord. Don't talk to me no more. I know the Lord. I'm good, man. I believe in God. Confess your sins. Humble yourself. And you'll be cleansed. He said, if you say you have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Verse 1 of chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Think about that. We have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua, Messiah, the righteous. For he is the propitiation for our sins. He is the propitiation. He is the atonement. He is the cover. He's the kapor, the kafar. He is all of that. He's the blood and the cleansing. He does it all. The propitiation of our sin. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Listen, The fact that he covers me makes me want to shout. But he covered everybody, whether they loved him or hated him. Those who thumbed their nose to him, those who just said, I have nothing, don't want anything to do with you, he did it for the whole world. That way nobody is going to have an excuse when they go before the Father in the great white throne judgment. Nobody. Because he did it for the whole world. Imagine that. So if you know, we shout about what he's doing for us. He did it for the whole world. Those who loved him, hated him, it didn't make a difference. That to me is amazing. That's amazing. The ones that drove the nails in his hands, he did it for them. The ones that never did that, he did it for them. The ones that said, I love you, he did it for them. The ones that said, I hate you, he did it for them. The ones that said, I love you, but they really didn't, he did it for them. He did it for the whole world. That to me is amazing. So we have the biblical holidays or feast days, spring holidays, fall holidays. There they are. Remember I told you, starting out on this thing when we first went into it, I struggled with it. I can't tell you how many sleepless nights I had. I struggled with the whole thing because it was out there. It was farther out than I'd ever been. I'd never been out from the shore. I'd always kind of stayed real close where I can handle it. But when you get out in the water, when you can't touch bottom no more, it's out of your control. You just jump in. Stirring up deep, deep wells. Stirring up deep, deep waters. You know, we sing that. Come on now. You want to get deep? You got to let go of the boat of security sometime and get out there. Trust God. Well, I had to do that. When you do that, it's sink or drown. You swim or drown. And you can drown in this quick. You know how you drown? When you get your eyes off of the one who put your faith up so high that you can get out there, and you start listening to what people think, people say. You get concerned about how they're going to look at you. Wow. Well, this is radical. Listen, when Yeshua shows up and he says to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he says, listen, none of you got it together. He said, let me just put it to you this way. He says, what you do is you paint the sepulcher white. You cover it white. You atone it white. But on the inside, it's full of dead men's bones. Don't ever forget that. So you can try your best to make it look nice. You can try to cover it over, but at the end, it's dead end. There's nothing. There's no life there. But when Christ comes, he covers you with the blood. But it's not just blood. It's life. Blood and life. Remember that. Blood and life. It's very important. Yom HaKippurim. Now, Kippurim is atonements. Now, how many of you ever heard me say that? The priest goes in once a year. There's some truth to that, but not the whole truth. And I need to correct that. Because we think he can only go in one time. It's one day. But he goes in multiple times to the most holy place. So keep that in mind. So before he goes in with the blood of all the Israelites, he got to go in for himself with the blood of the bull. The bull's for the priest. Remember that? So he goes in. Then he got to come back out. Then he got to go in for his family. Then he got to go in for the consecrated thing. It's a lot of times, but it's one day. So I just want to make sure that you're not taking that he goes in once a year, just one time he enters in. It's one day, which is this day. Listen, this is exciting to me. Because I'm actually standing up here. Hallelujah. And I'm practicing and remembering and memorializing the day that Yeshua HaMashiach did it all He did it all. He did it all. He did it all. I'm memorializing that. That's something to be excited about. This ought to be taught in every church. People get excited. People get excited about stuff, about songs, about miracles. They want miracles. Let me tell you, people can see something. That's true. You can just listen. We ought to, you know, we poke a hole in that sidewall right there and fix a light. We had a shine out there and put a cross in the grass. We can line cars up from New Orleans coming to see that. That's all people want, though. As long as you breaking fish and bread, everybody's good. But when you sit them down and say, listen to me careful. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. This is the real deal. Oh, man, that's offensive. What are you talking about? See, life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. Very important. Is this helping anybody? So let's cover some of this. Leviticus 16:33, and he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary. How many see that? He makes atonement for the holy sanctuary. He shall make atonement for the tabernacle of congregation, for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. That's a lot of times. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of sin offering, 16:10-16:10, offering for which is for himself. The bullocks. Aaron offers the bullock for himself and make atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take two goats and present them before Yahweh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for Yahweh and the other for the scapegoat. He cast the lots. And Aaron shall bring the goat which is upon Yahweh's lot, upon which Yahweh's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before Yahweh. Tie a scarlet thread and make an atonement with him, and to let him and to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat unto the wilderness. That one's gone outside the camp. Leviticus 23:27. Also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. A day of atonement. So everybody understand, it was a day. One day. One time a year. You think maybe, just maybe, when I said this is the holiest day of the year, we're to respond to it, you better believe it. What if you had a day? Think about that. What if you had one day to get things right with God? You think you'd forget that day? I want to submit to you, people are squandering and they are being so wasteful and not being considerate of the atonement in which Yeshua HaMashiach has given for them. Let me give you an example. Who remembers the day that you believed that you were saved? That day, okay? That day ought to be a special time to you. You ought to weep over that day every time it comes around. Forget your birthday. We already know you're getting older. You understand? You won't find anything in the scripture where he talks about you got to remember the day you was born. But you got to remember the day you were born again. I can show you all over the scripture. Don't forget the day you were atoned for. He tells us over and over again, that's a special time. And what he's telling Israel, he said, this is the day, this is the holiest day of the year, this is the time that I give everything for you. Think about that. And we're losing that. And we're losing it because we don't give God the glory he deserves. We're not giving him the glory. Remember when Job's friends come? This, I don't know, maybe 3-4 years ago I did this. Bildad and Eliphaz and those guys come in, they're talking about God. And he said, I'm not listening to you. I'm only going to listen to Job. And the reason he said, I'm not going to listen, because you have not spoken right about me. Do you think God wants people to speak right about him? You better believe it. Because, he said, I won't hear their prayers because they haven't spoken right about me. We need to start speaking right about the Most High. We need to start speaking right about him. If we don't, he's not going to hear our prayers and we won't get anything done. So I want to tell you that this is important and it should be a time we remember. Also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. Hopefully tomorrow I could go into that part, afflict your soul. I really want to go into that. It covers quite a bit of stuff. Very important that we understand that. Different names: Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, Face to Face, the day or great day. The fast is a question mark there because there's some thoughts about that. It could be a fast. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a fast. It could be. If you know it, understand it to be the right thing. Like, I'm going to fast. But the fast is not, it's not a fast that you can, like you would do any other time. If you're going to fast on the day of Yom Kippur, if you're going to fast, it has to be a total fast. If you're going to count it as afflicting the soul, you can't have anything for the whole day. Nothing. See, that's the difference. But you can't say, well, oh, I'm fasting, you know, I'm going to miss lunch. You might as well eat your lunch. Because you can't apply that type of fasting to this day. That's why it's a question mark there. It needs to be discussed further. I don't know if I'm going to get into it at all, but I just figured I'd throw that out to you. If you're going to fast, you should start your fast this evening till tomorrow evening, and it's a complete fast. You have nothing. Nothing. No water, no nothing. Do you understand? That's the difference. Because it's, you're putting yourself in a position where you're completely relying. But if you're going to do that, there's some other things you have to take into consideration. I think, let me just tell you this. Let me go over this while I'm thinking about it now. If we want to remember this day and do it best we can, does that make us get closer to God? It's not, you're not doing this in order for God to save you. We're saved by the blood of Yeshua and the cleansing power of that blood and his life. Remember that. That's one big thing I think is missing from the teaching of Scripture is the life of Christ. Because we got to have a live high priest who goes and brings that blood and brings it before the Most High. We have to have that. So without his life, we got nothing. You got blood, but you got nothing. Because somebody's got to deliver it. And so it's the blood and the life. It's the cleansing and the cover. The cover and the cleanse. Cover and cleanse. Cover and cleanse. Very important. You remember the lepers would go and show themselves to the priest? Did they get healed? No, they went there, they had to show themselves, they got covered, and he'd pray over them, whatever. They're still lepers, but until they run into Yeshua. Something happened. Then he prays for them, right? He says, go show yourself to the priest. One turned back. One. When he turned back, he said, okay, nobody's looking. You're made whole. I don't know if you got to really grab hold to that part. Brother Troy knows what I'm talking about because I remember a message he preached on that. That's years ago. I don't care how long the time is, you remember those things. They're valuable to you. You're made whole. Because he just inserted that power and authority and let them know that there's going to be blood to cover you. And you're going to be clean, but the life is going to make you whole. It's the finale. It's what happens. Because the face-to-face don't happen until he returns. That's why I say the atonement, even though we have what took place during the Passover time, and we have first fruits, the resurrection, and then we wait that period of time coming into Shavuot with the giving of the Spirit, we still by faith holding on because we haven't had the face-to-face yet. When you have that, wow. Going to be something. So the great shofar, the closing of the gate. The closing of the gate. So we'll cover some of these. The most solemn day of the year. The most solemn day of the year. Yom Kippur. Day of Atonement. Leviticus 23:32, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening to evening shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. So on the ninth day in the evening, so it'll be on the tenth day from evening to evening, you'll cover the entire part of the tenth day, because our days start different than they did then. There's an evening to evening. We consider that tomorrow is going to come. It'll be in the morning, starting at midnight, right? 01, 12:01. And we say, well, that's if you get up, that's actually a different day. Not in the Bible, it's the evening. In the evening and the morning. The evening and the morning. So understand that starting right now till tomorrow, before when you get to church, Yom Kippur officially is over when you get here. But we're going to have our service, and we'll talk about it some more and celebrate and honor the Lord. But then what are we getting ready for? Sukkot. Wow, it's incredible. What happened on the first Yom Kippur after the Exodus? Now, we can build an argument again for the covering. There was an atonement that happened in the garden. There's no doubt about it. If we just looking at verses of Scripture, there was an atonement that happened. But the first Yom Kippur after the Exodus, this is important for us to understand. Let's see if we can get just that, and then we're going to close. Exodus 32, verse 30 through 33. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto Yahweh. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sins. This is after the Exodus. And Moses returned unto Yahweh and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them mighty ones of gold. Mighty ones of gold, or Elohims, or gods of gold. Mighty ones of gold. Think about that. Now, let me tell you why this was a great sin. When they left Egypt, what did Yahweh, go back and read it, read the whole count. If you notice in our tour portions, these are some of the things. When we're here and everybody's doing tour, if I do tour, anybody does tour, there's mounds of stuff you can't kind of highlight, because there's so much. The stuff that God deals with you about, you bring it out, and you know on the table is so much being left. If you, the ones who do it, you can experience that. Well, one of the things in Torah that we looked at is they leave Egypt, and before they leave, what does God say is His? He says, the firstborn is mine. So He counts the firstborns. You go back and read that account. Well, they get to the place where the golden calf gets made. Who was in charge when Moses left? We have Aaron, who's the high priest. Okay? Now, if he fails to step up and say anything, who's next? The firstborn. Okay? The firstborn should step up and say, hey, no, no, no. And what has to happen? They know they're in authority because he says the firstborn are mine. They were set apart. They didn't do that. So when Moses comes back down, he says, okay, y'all have sinned a great sin. He goes up before Yahweh. He's speaking to Yahweh on their behalf. And Moses returned to Yahweh and said, oh, these people have sinned a great sin. They made these gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And Yahweh said to Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. But Moses was standing there trying to insert himself as a Mashiach, the anointed one to say, hey, take me, don't take them. How many see that? So Moses comes back down and he says, who's going to stand against what just took place? And who stood? Not the firstborn. Who stood? The Levite. That's why they became the group that he would use for the priestly order after that. The Levites stood and says, they were wrong what they did. They kept themselves from it and stayed away from it. So God, that's how that changeover happened. But what was the original plan? Firstborn. Firstborn. Israel's my firstborn. There's so much teaching right there on the firstborn. We can go on and on and on. It's so powerful. How many know the devil's after the firstborn? How many know we see that all through Scripture? How many know God used the secondborn quite a bit through the Scripture to still bring about his plan and purpose? I'm going to submit to you that Yeshua HaMashiach is called the last Adam. Or if he's the last one that had one, he said yes to the temptation, to the lie. And Yeshua HaMashiach said, no, no, no. So we see that amazing, amazing thing happen throughout the Scripture. So let's stop right there. This is a good spot to stop. I could go on and on. Everybody knows that. We go on and on and on all night long. Because that's the next part, is the face-to-face. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the face-to-face. You could take some time to look at that. But that'll be that Corinthians passage. But we're going to stop right there. I think that another...